You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today, we are back with another episode with one of my friends all the way across the country, Kate Glavin. You can hear my dog whining in the background because I had to put her in a crate. I forgot to tell you guys, I literally got a dog. I got a puppy. If you follow me on Instagram, you already know this, obviously, but I haven't really posted about it. I feel like I've been MIA from this podcast for many reasons. One of them obviously being my puppy that I'm taking care of, but like, I don't know. I've just been feeling some type of way. I just haven't really been doing that well mentally. I don't know what exactly it's from. I don't know if it's the winter blues. I don't know if it's me not being able to run because I'm injured, or like now I'm on the road to recovery, which we talk about in this episode a lot because Kate's also injured. But please bear with me during this time. I just feel like I don't know. I'm trying to like sort it out, you know, with my own brain. So yeah, I'm going to continue putting out episodes when I can. So I appreciate you guys for listening and being patient with me. And also you'll meet my puppy soon on YouTube. Okay. Episode with Kate Glavin. She's a TikToker, content creator, now YouTuber. She's diving into that platform. She's a runner, just a wellness queen. She has a meme page called Sea Moss Girlies that she runs with her friend Emma. She has a podcast. She's just got a lot going on. We talk about a bunch of different stuff in this episode, so I hope you guys enjoy it. Also, I'm editing this right now, and I'm realizing that, like, I recorded it in a different area of my apartment because my dog is in the other room, and the echo was so bad, so it made the audio a little bit weird on my end, so I'm really sorry that I'm gonna try to fix that for the next one. I don't know exactly what happened, but my apologies on my end. Just forewarning you guys, there are some cuss words in this episode, so if you're like sensitive to that, I'm sorry, but we just let it rip, you know. Podcast with Kate. It's like a year later now, and I was like, honestly, I feel like you're the perfect person to chat with right now because we're both injured girlies.
Struggling. Thanks for having me back. Sucks. The universe blessed us, cursed us with the injuries at the same time. We were talking about before we started recording that, like, I think a lot of people that I follow and look for content, like, aren't running or taking a break or something like that. So I told Emma, like, maybe astrology for runners right now, like, something in the universe telling us all to not run. So if you're not running, you're with us.
Yeah, I really do feel like, especially other, like, running influencers that I follow are injured right now. I don't know if it's just casual runners too, but a lot of the influencers, you know, we're out here, we're struggling, we're in pain.
If you have no content on your timeline, sorry.
Sorry. Literally, you're getting me and my new dog. And other than that, like, I'm kind of giving you nothing. So
we're all pivoting. We're all having to pivot. I've been pivoting into posting about weed. Like, we have new eras that we're all in now. And yeah, come on. We're all multifaceted creators out here.
I saw that you said that you, like, do a little puff up before going to spin class.
Yeah, should we get into that as my first subject? Because 50 people have shared that story on Instagram, and I'm really curious what's going on in the DMs. So this kind of relates to running, actually. I was in my, like, Cali sober, like, running era where I was smoking weed before running. So back up on me, my experience with alcohol and drugs is that, like, I was a straight edge loser my whole life. Not saying loser is straight edge, but you know what I mean? Like, I never drank, never went to a party. I didn't have my first kiss till I was 20. So, like, I was just late to it. And I was like, I don't need to drink alcohol. Like, I'm a nerd at NYU. Like, I just want to be on the Supreme Court. I don't care. And then as I, like, kind of loosened up a little bit and was like, okay, like alcohol never did anything for me. It never, like, brought anything positive to my life. I don't feel like I got more loose or, like, chill, or like I was just like, even on dates I was like, okay, I could blab sober and I can blab with alcohol in me, like, you're getting the same me. I don't know. So I never really grew up with an experience with weed. Like, no one in my family smoked weed, didn't have any friends that smoked weed, and so, like, definitely probably had inherited some stigmas around it, or, like, also associated weed with alcohol, where I was like, okay, alcohol hasn't brought me anything, I don't think weed will either, and kind of put it at that. But there's a run club in Brooklyn called Rage and Release, and it's a cannabis running group. And I was introduced to them by, like, Ty Haney's company Joggy, because they had an event, like, last summer and Ty was in town. So I go to this and I was like, oh, there's this whole running group, because, like, I wasn't really, like, aware of the running culture and, like, all the groups, because there's so many in New York, like, hundreds of fucking run clubs. So I went to this one and I realized, like, everyone's smoking weed before the runs. For a very long time, I never participated. And then one of the days I was like, fuck them, I'm here. Like, sober Kate, like, let's just do it. Started smoking weed before my runs, and I'd have to say the physical effects were, like, crazy. I mean, I did feel like Bambi on ice the first time I did, because I wasn't aware of dosage, my body weight, you know, all that stuff. But I am a very analytical and, like, over analytical overthinker girly. And so when I'm running, I'm like, how's my foot? How's this? How's my heart rate? How's this? Duh, duh, duh. And it really sucks the joy out of running. Like, I think ever since I got a fucking running watch and, like, started taking running more seriously, the mental part of running has been hard for me to, like, just go on a run and not, like, be a paranoid freak. So weed has helped me in that aspect. And so when I was training for my marathon, which is next month, pray to God I can still run it, I started smoking weed before my long runs. And then I would, like, stop halfway, like, smoke a little bit more, keep trucking along. You're like, what the fuck?
I've just never heard of anyone doing that.
There's, like, a lot of people I know, like, I've started talking to a bunch of guys and they're like, yeah, I never don't work out high. Like, I'm always high when I work out. Like, I've just, like, ripped off a can of worms that I never knew. And I've gotten a lot of DMs of people like, yeah, I'm always high when I'm working out. Like, it's so great. And I haven't noticed anything of, like, I've taken edibles, I've, like, smoked, like, weed, whatever, like, joints and stuff. So I haven't noticed anything of my lungs with that, because some people ask questions about that. And so spin class, I've been able to introduce that back into my movement thing. I was, like, literally doing nothing for 4 weeks. And then my PT was like, you can bike. So I started taking edibles before spin class, but, like, a spin room is, like, dark and there's lights. And so it's a little bit of a goofy, crazy experience, but, I've been enjoying it and I feel like a legend when I leave class. So I'm gonna keep doing it. It's kind of like a science experiment on my body at this point.
Yeah. I mean, if it works, like, why not? You know,
I'm like, yo, I'm like, I think my performance is the same. Like, I don't know. Sure.
Do you feel a difference with, like, pain? Because obviously people, like, use cannabis for pain. So do you feel like it helps your knee?
Yes. Like, this, I have to say, this was the only thing that gave me relief throughout, like, the really bad parts of my injury was weed. I had some sort of pain medication prescribed from a doctor. Had ibuprofen, was taking that twice a day. I'm, like, very much a wellness girly, so I was taking my curcumin. I was doing all of the supplements and, like, the holistic Eastern medicine thing. I went to acupuncture. I got cupping. I was trying every healing modality under the sun for, like, acute pain and stuff like that. Nothing was helping. Every sort of, like, CBD roller on my knee, nothing was helping. As soon as I took an edible, like, my knee felt fine. I was like, what the fuck? What's going on? But the thing is, like, if you do have an injury and you're just like, I'm going to take an edible, the thing is, like, since you can't, your pain receptors, like, turn off in a certain way. And if you're going to go walk, you're probably going to walk in a funky way and then wake up the next morning and be like, my knee kind of feels bad. So, just lay in bed if you're gonna smoke weed or something like that. Or, I mean, if you can take an edible, because, yeah, you could also, like, fuck yourself up. So, proceed with
caution. Well, yeah, obviously, because, like, it wouldn't be, you're not solving the problem with the weed. It's more of just, like, exactly.
A band-aid while you were in hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How's the pain been for you? Have you found any remedies for you that's been working?
Well, now, I mean, now it's better when I walk, so I don't really feel it anymore, which is, like, so nice. Because, like, we were talking before this episode started, when I was in Japan, I was in so much pain. And I think, like, I just didn't really realize, like, how much pain I was in until now when I'm not in pain anymore. And I was like,
yeah,
I was, like, really in pain. Like, every step I took, it felt like I was, like, walking on a broken back. I don't think I've actually talked about my injury on my podcast. So if people, like, only listen to my podcast, they wouldn't know. But I got, like, a... I mean, I've had a lot of, like, sciatica problems, which is, like, a nerve issue, and it's just, like, it's, like, a compressed nerve in your back and, like, your piriformis, so your glute and stuff, so, like, my glute, and it would spread down to my hamstring, would just feel, like, really stiff and tight, and then I got to the point where it was, like, it literally felt like I was running on a broken bone, or, like, walking on a broken bone. Like, there was one run I went on when I got back from Japan. Don't ask me why I went. I went to run club because I was just, like, I want to see my friends. Most pain I've ever been in, like, most painful run I've ever had in terms of, like, injury wise I was like, it felt like I was running on a broken back. So at that point I had convinced myself that it was not my nerve problem anymore, and that I had, like, a stress fracture, something in my hip or something. I've never had a bone injury in my life, so I don't even know really what it feels like, but the only thing I could think of that it felt like when I was running that day at run club was that I was running on a broken bone, because it felt so bad. But then I went to PT and they said no, that's, I don't know, they did a bunch of tests, they said no. I mean, I never ended up getting an MRI because I just didn't want to spend hundreds of dollars on an MRI on my back. My PT said that it wasn't like a stress fracture. So I was like, okay. And so it was, like, hurting for a while, like, when I would do anything, like when I would be in bed rolling around, it hurt. When I got out of bed, it hurt. When I was putting on my clothes, it hurt. Walking around hurt, obviously. Like,
literally the same.
So relieved. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I went to PT too. So my injury was a stress fracture. But when it happened to me, like, it was a long training run, and I was like, oh, my body feels achy, I'm gonna cut it short. The next day I woke up, could not get out of bed. And like you said, I've never had, like, a severe bone injury. Rolled my ankles a million times. I've had Achilles issues and, like, that stuff, but I've never had a knee issue. So, like, my brain went to panic mode because I was like, I've never experienced pain like this. Like, what is my leg broken? Is it, am I dying right here? Like, what's going on? So I went to PT and they went through all of, like, the range of motion tests, kind of seeing, like, is it ACL? Is it MCL? Whatever. I left the PT and I walked out and they were like, okay, we think it's a meniscus issue. So, like, try to go get an MRI, whatever. They did not say it was going to be a stress fracture at all. And I got my MRI 4 weeks later back and it was a stress fracture. And, like, I don't go to that PT anymore because I feel like I wasn't really served well with it. Like, I was led down the wrong path. They couldn't give me a diagnosis. They weren't helping me on this recovery path. So it, like, sucks. The whole, like, misdiagnosis and, like, questioning that, like, what is going on? Like, I don't have, like, a clear recovery plan. I feel like that was the hardest part of, like, the mental side of it, of, like, when is this going to, when am I going to be out of this shit, you know?
Yeah, that's the hardest thing, especially because I remember, like, following along, like, the 4 weeks when you weren't running and you didn't know what it was. Like, that period is so brutal. And even for me now, because I didn't go get the MRI, like, I still don't really know, even though my PT says, like, no, it's not a stress fracture. I mean, I believe them, but then also, like, I don't know, I've gotten too many DMs, too, of people being like, my PT said it wasn't a stress fracture. And then I had a stress fracture or something. So I probably, honestly, should have gone to go get an MRI, but, like, the only thing I would have done is, like, rested anyways, and that's really what I've been doing. And I'm not rushing back into it at all, but I'm just, like, glad because now, within, like, the last week, there's been no pain walking. And, like, today I just went to PT, which we were joking about because we both went to PT today, and we were scheduling a time, and we're like, wait, that's going to run into my PT.
My PT.
Just intergirly things.
We're so busy. Booked and busy.
I know. But, like, I don't know. We did a bunch of, like, tests and stuff, and, like, my pain is almost none, basically, but...
Okay, yeah, love.
Yeah. But, like, in terms of, like, any relief, I didn't really try anything. I don't like taking pain meds. It's the same thing as, I'm kind of a wellness person. Like, I'm weird, you know? I'm definitely not, like, a stickler on anything. Like, I don't restrict myself, like, anything from my diet. Like, I eat...
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, I've been eating, like... doo-doo lately, and I do, like, drink alcohol on occasion. Like, I don't know, I'm not the most, like, wellness queen. Like, I'm not out here taking, like, all those supplements. I'll take Athletic Greens and that's about it.
Yeah, no, that's me in the morning, girl, don't worry.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, with the pain stuff, it's interesting. With, I think, PT sometimes in the past, I've had this experience when I've had injuries in the past. Like, you go, okay, you have knee pain, rest, ice, compression your knee, like, yada, yada, yada. And you and I have both been athletes, like, our whole life. And that's kind of, like, what I knew to do. Like, before I went in and got any help, I was like, okay, so I'm going to stop moving. I'm going to ice it. I'm going to rest, compression, all that type of stuff, right? And kind of keep, you know, is the pain getting worse and better? You, like, go through that routine in your head. But I think sometimes with PT, they don't help you find the answers of, like, what led to this thing? And that was a big thing for me where I was like, yeah. Like, I can ice my knee and, like, we can do all this type of shit. But once I start running again, will I have another fucking injury? Which has happened to me in the past. And, like, I finally found a PT that is really interested in, like, my entire body and how my hips are, how my feet are. Because I've been told, like, okay, you have this issue because you have weak calves and you have weak glutes. I've gotten that for fucking years. And, like, I've done everything under the sun to strengthen them, you know? Like, I feel like we all have little things that are, like, our weak muscles. Like, I'm a very quad-dominant runner. Like, I have no butt at all.
Oh, and I think you and I are the same person. Like, my trainer would always say my hips and my glutes are weak and tight. And I haven't really done that much to fix it. And I'm also very quad-dominant and I have absolutely no butt.
Yeah. Yeah, no. The thing is, like, you could give me a million glute bridges to do, I still don't even feel my glutes firing. So it's clearly like an anatomy issue that I can't activate shit. And so the PT that I'm going to now has broken it down. And he's like, looked at me the first day and he's like, it's your hips and your feet. It's not your glutes and your calves at all. Like, the way that your hips are moving and rotating, you can't get any depth. And, like, he did a whole history of, like, okay, you played volleyball. And, like, because you played volleyball, it was all fast twitch muscle fibers, yada, yada, yada. Like, you have really long femurs, like, bleh. And, like, it was such an in-depth, like, read on my thing that I was like, this guy's sick. Like, he actually gives a fuck about, like, you know, how you train. Is it, let's say if you're an athlete or not an athlete listening to the podcast, if you had any sort of training and you were like lifting weights or like working out when you were 13, the movement patterns that you developed then are what you're doing now. And I knew that I grew to be 5'11", like when I was in sixth grade, every time I did a squat, I could not get depth. That's been like history for me, right? And so then when he was running me through exercises, he's like, you don't activate your hips and get into your glutes at all. And it's probably been like that for 10 years. So we're going to have to try to fix that. And I was like, that's the first time a PT has ever fucking told me that. Most of the time it's like, Band-Aid, let's fix your knee and then go fucking try to run again. So I don't know. I'm like, I was super shitty, like pissed about the injury, obviously, when it first started happening, just like wondering why what's going on, what led up to it. But now I'm like, okay, I think I'm actually going to be a better runner. Like when I get out of this, like I feel a lot better about like my body and learning about my body. So who knows? But go to PT if you're injured. Don't keep doing shit. You need to see someone. Don't run on the injury. It's just going to get worse. It's not fun. Oh, yeah. Not sexy. Just, like, take time off.
Was the PT that you went to originally that, like, I guess misdiagnosed you, were they, like, a running-specific one, or was it just, like, a general PT?
Running-specific. And, like, jeez. I don't even, I mean, it's weird, like, the misdiagnosis thing, like, it was just hard because, like, I was like, okay, like, maybe I'll just go to another PT and get another opinion and another opinion. Like, I have no idea what to do. And it was hard because it was waiting for that MRI result. And, like, health insurance sucks. And it took, like, a few weeks for that to all process through. And then, of course, you get to the point where you're, like, WebMD rabbit hole on the internet. And I was, like, watching.
Well, that's
and,
what
like,
I was doing when I was in Japan. All I was doing was WebMD. And that's why I convinced myself I had a stress fracture, which.
Exactly. Which maybe I did. I don't know. Don't do that, girlies. But I do that all the time, especially with wellness stuff. I, like, will Google and I'm like, okay, so I have 2 months to live now. I'm just gonna like call my family because I have a stomach pain. I'm dying tomorrow. Like, fuck.
No, that's literally what I've been doing with my dog too. Now that I have a dog, like my dog last night was like panting in her crate, and I was like, oh my gosh, why is she panting? Like, it's not hot in here. I'm like, why? Why is my puppy panting? And it was like, your dog literally has cancer. I was like, what?
No, like, hi, I just got it.
Yeah, I just got it. How does she have cancer? I mean, she didn't actually have cancer. Not that I don't think, but that's what like the rabbit hole took me down. You know?
Yeah, just our luck. There's always kooky things in the universe happening to us. I feel like whatever, you know, like are they called like marionette figures, you know, with like the guy, is that what I'm thinking of,
the puppet?
Yeah, you guys can't see what I'm doing, but like with the hand and then there's like a little man. I feel like we have the same person controlling both of our lives, and some of the weird quirked up shit that happens is like he's the same controller of our like destinies in some ways with like weird quirky things, you know what I mean?
I feel like, you know, watching your content online, I feel like we do live pretty similar lives. And I feel like, I don't know if you feel like this, but I feel like weird stuff always happens to me. Or like,
oh yeah,
some weird, like, unfortunate events or like,
yeah,
I do think I'm very, like, blessed. Like, a lot, I have a lot of bones that are, like, thrown my way, especially with, like, work and business stuff. I feel like I've been, like, very lucky and very blessed and stuff. But, like, in my personal life, I feel like I have so many weird or unfortunate things happen to me where I'm, like, what is going on? Like, the voodoo doll. I feel like someone's controlling me. And I'm, like...
Yeah. I really am, like, the comedy bit for my friends. It's always, like, so what's been happening? Tell me a funny story that's been going on with you. And I'm, like... Which one should I fucking choose? The one that happened yesterday or 5 minutes ago? So also agree. Yeah, I feel like there's the path and like life that I have now. I'm very happy and grateful for. But the quirked up shit that's the everyday. Yeah, we hate to see it.
How have you been like, I guess, because I've seen that you've now delved into YouTube. So you're doing the long content. How's that going?
It's interesting, which YouTube, I have to ask you first, what would you say is your favorite platform? Because, like, YouTube and, like, longest platform for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, other than the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think YouTube, I was always like, okay, YouTube was, like, the thing in, like, 2015. Like, I was, like, I think I had this stigma around it once I got more into content creation, which would have been, like, 2020. I was like, YouTube seems cool. Like, I've watched YouTubers my whole life, but I, like, don't know if people are, like, on there. Like, TikTok is kind of, like, the thing that people are doing. But there's a lot of reasons why I got on YouTube. The main one is, like, I've kind of had beef with TikTok recently. Not the app, not the people at TikTok. I don't fucking know them. I mean, maybe I have beef with them. But the platform and I think where it is now, how people act on that app and interact with content, comments, engagement, like what content gets to the algorithm, not being like, oh, I'm shadow banned, but just like the algorithm wants content that's like inflammatory, that is like enticing people to like fight in the comment section. And I think as a creator, I've also noticed that I really like dumb myself down in certain ways when I'm posting videos because I'm like, all right, I have a minute to explain the entire gut microbiome, like fuck, you know? Or like I have 15 seconds for people to scroll, and like I know how fast I scroll in the app for people to like be interested in me. And I'm just kind of, I think I caught myself stuck there of like really trying to get people's attention by like in short form ways, and I was just felt stuck and trapped. Like, you can't do anything creative. People have probably made the joke on the app that you've already made. I felt like I had this like self-critic in my head before I went to press post of like, someone's gonna roast me in the comments for this. Someone's gonna say that I'm this because of this. And like, I just like fucking hated posting. I was like, I just like don't want to do this. And it kind of aligned with my injury where I was just like, this, people are like telling me everything under the sun about my injury, how I should be reacting, overreacting. Here's my PT. You're stupid for doing this. Why aren't you doing this? And yeah, it's been weird. And I've always like, you know, had that relationship of like with social media of like, what do I do with the boundaries here? Like, how much do I share? How much do I like not share? And I think you and I are both creators that share a lot of our lives. Like, we're not posting like fit checks and never talking in our videos. I feel like those creators, honestly, like they have it down because like to a degree, like because they are never like sharing parts of themselves that can just be like shriveled up and like,
well, yeah, because the thing that those fit check people, they're going to be roasted on is their fit. They're not going to be roasted about their deep dark, or they're not dark, deep like core personality or values.
Yes. Exactly. Or like their quirks and like something that you're insecure about, and then someone comments on it and you're like, oh, sick. So like the voices in my head are, they're right. You know what I mean? So I think I migrated to YouTube just because I was like, I want to do something fun that I'm excited about. I think a lot of health and wellness content on TikTok is like super eating disorder, diet culture. I've never felt really comfortable doing like wellness shit. I've tried and it just feels like awkward because I feel like everything on that app is weird. But like CMOS Girl is on Instagram. Like I love doing that. Like love the podcast and like that like weird wellness space we have created. And so like, yeah, YouTube, I feel just more creatively inspired by it. It leads to more nuance by having longer videos. And I feel like I can show myself as like more of a person than like stupid fucking 7 second videos to like make it on the algorithm. Like what the hell, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I've never really been good at short form content for those reasons. Like I just can't get my point across in even a minute. I'm like, it's too short. I need to overshare a lot. Like I need to explain everything. So that's why, I mean, I don't know. I've always said, even with TikTok, like I'm not very good at TikTok because I can't do it. And now with Reels too, I'm like, I'm going to be an Instagram picture girly. Like, till I die. Cause I'm going to stick with what I know. I don't, especially Reels. I feel like, I don't know. I don't really see many talking Reels like going viral. It's all like fit checks basically.
Yeah. No, it's like cute song in the background and like like little aesthetic video.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, most of the time, if I'm posting a reel, there's probably a gun to my head, i.e. like it's a sponsored video. Like I'm never like just willingly being like, let me do an awkward, like, I think reels are very like Facebook for me. Like they feel really weird and like grandma. But then again, like, yeah, TikTok, like it's funny sometimes when I do like brand deals and they're like, could you do like Instagram and TikTok? And I'm like, I will willingly post like this on TikTok, whatever. I feel comfortable talking and like being a freak, but like Instagram, it's like, I think Instagram for me, I also have a lot of people that like actually know me following me. And so then like you see them in real life and I'm like, damn, you had to click through my skincare ad. Like that's like, I'm really awkward. Or like a guy you're seeing and I'm like, no, don't follow me. You're just gonna like get the ick really quick of like going through my fucking stories of like talking about Athletic Greens. Like, please don't follow me ever.
Yeah. I mean, that's how that's how I kind of feel about all brand deals on all platforms right now. Like, I'm, even though I love the products, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it still feels
all the people that I work with, like, I genuinely love them, but for some reason, they've been like pulling teeth for me.
Same. And it's like, we're in a recession. I don't want people to buy shit. And also, like, I think people now have been pushed like to the almost just like crazy, crazy ends of consumerism with TikTok of like weird makeup hauls and people doing Amazon hauls every day that like I even hate to see an ad and when I see it. Or like I think it's just so obvious, even if it is like a really like well like funny or like coded ad and can't really tell it's an ad or something like that and the person did it in like a funny way, I'm still like, eh, I don't want to buy a product. Like whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of, like, hard because I guess that is, like, a main source of income. And in the past, like, I mean, I like working with brands for the most part, but I don't know why. I've just been, like, very burnt out. Like, I can't even get myself to do, like, a 90-second ad read. I don't know what is wrong with me, but, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, that's how I felt with, like, all social media. You, it sounds like it's just with TikTok, but honestly, like, I haven't even been very consistent on this podcast for the same reason. I've just been feeling, like, really burnt out. I talked about it with my friend on the last episode, which was a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I never feel burnt out. And I was like,
oh well, the other half lives. I think for me, like, I've had to realize, like, in my brain that I have to do, like, very different tasks. Like, for me, when I post on Instagram, it feels very different than TikTok. And TikTok is very different than podcasts. Like, me sitting on a park bench, like, making, like, memes with, like, weird, like, deep-fried SpongeBob things. Like, it's working a different muscle in my head. And I think since I'm able to, like, segment that, even when I, like, let's say I'm doing a talking thing on Instagram versus TikTok, I still feel like it's different parts of me, which is, like, maybe weird as a creator. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, Instagram, I've totally just, like, started to shit post. I'm just like, fuck it. Like, memes on the story. Like, I don't, whatever. And I
myself whatever I want on the story. Like, I post, like, the most, like, niche things that, like, no one understands even.
But
like,
I also, like,
unless you're, like, chronically online like me, then maybe you would get it. Like, the Lyle crocodile meme. Have you seen that? Like, going on TikTok or whatever. Like, the other day I just posted like a giant zoom in of Lyle's head just going like la 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 la. And like, I mean, I'm 26, like I feel like a lot of the people I know, especially in my personal life, are like older than me. I'm like, there is no way any of these people are gonna know what this singing crocodile is in my story, but I'm like, I don't care, it's funny to me, so I just posted it.
Yeah, no, I love Instagram stories. I have to say, like, that's my favorite part of, like, social media right now, I would have to say. Like, it's so funny, it's there. Also, the concept of, like, deleting social media stories before 24 hours has passed. Like, sometimes I will just post for, like, 6 hours, delete it, just because I'm like, okay, if you saw it, you saw it. If you didn't, like, fuck you, you're not paying attention, you know what I mean?
You're not paying attention.
But, like, you're not getting the fucking weird
content. Meanwhile, I'm exposed to my Instagram story like this. Tap, 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 tap.
Literally, it's like, I know that I'm, like, contributing to the problem of, like, this Instagram story rise, but also at the same time, it's like, come on, it's, like, funny content. I also love following people that post random shit. Like, hey. If it's just, like, super, like, curated stuff, like, I want to know, like, the weird thing on your, like, TikTok, or the weird, like, rabbit hole, like, you're going down, because I know that you have one. I know that you're not this, like, curated bitch with, like, a skincare routine, like, all the fucking time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Instagram stories have not gotten me in trouble, but it's led to some questions in my personal life by some friends and other people, I would have to say, about like, what was that in your story? And I'm just like, you either get it, you get it, you don't. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly. There's no explanation. I don't explain my Instagram stories. No need. Like, yeah, you get it, or you don't.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But I also agree, like, with the, I don't know, being a creator on different platforms, you do get to work different muscles in your brain, which is what I think, why it's been, like, so sustainable for me for, since, like, 2019, when I started doing, like, social media full-time, is because I started with, like, Instagram, my food Instagram that I have, yep, and YouTube, so I already, like, was working different muscles, and then that went from, like, that, and then I started my podcast and stuff, and so I feel like that's kept me going for a while, like for four years pretty much, or like since my podcast, like 2020, for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like now, though, I almost feel like I have senioritis on social media. Like,
what?
I almost feel like it's my time to graduate.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think for me, even too, with YouTube, I was like, wait, I need to be doing something different. I was like, wait, people are probably bored of me. People are probably, I think also too, I have that, like, I called it in my last YouTube video, like, the self-critic. Like, before I would go to post a TikTok video, I was like, okay, Kate, no one cares that you ran 7 miles. Like, no one cares what shorts you chose today. Like, no one cares that you had this for breakfast. And then I would just never post anything because I would have in my head that I was like, okay, this is boring. People are already seeing this, like, whatever. And I think as a creator, you have that, like, because you're not, you don't have coworkers, but you have other creators, and you're like, oh, this person's, like, in Japan, like, this person's in this, this person is just doing this thing, like, fuck, like, I'm doing nothing. And I think that's the only way that you have any, like, peripheral vision of, like, that fear of, like, you're not doing enough. And I think it's inevitable as a creator, you're going to feel, like, burnt out. But at least for me, and I think you probably relate to this too, like, I've never really had this sort of, like, fear of, like, I need to get to 1 million followers. Like, I need to
grow. No.
Like, my engagement, like, I don't give a fuck about my engagement rate. Like, if a brand is like, what's your engagement rate? I'm like, I don't fucking know. Like, what's your growth rate? I don't fucking care. Like, people are probably unfollowing me and following me. Like, whatever. Because I think when you get in, like, the whole metrics, like, game of social media, it's like, what is the difference if you have, like, that many more numbers on your screen? Like, I care about, like, the people that are in my DMs that are giggling at memes and, like, running and, like, doing wellness shit. Like, I don't care how many that number is, as long as it's engaged and, like, we're doing the right stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about on my last podcast too. She's like another running podcaster, and she has like a, I mean, we all have like niche followings, and we both were talking about how, like, I don't care if I grow at all anymore. Like, I like the little community I have. But yeah, I mean, it is easy to get in my head of being like, oh, I could, there's always the option to, like, do more, which I don't know, eats at me a lot. More than anything, I think for me lately, like, I'm just kind of bored of myself. I think that's what's causing all of it. It's not even comparison. Like, I don't really care what other people are doing.
Yeah, same.
You know, living their best life journey or worst life, who knows? But, like, I just am bored of my own content. So, what, I mean, I think I just had this, like, realization a couple of weeks ago, especially when I got injured again, because I was like, I'm not going to be able to work out or do anything, so I need to, like, figure out what I want to do next. I just started, I mean, I think you saw my story today.
Yeah.
Posted yesterday. The Fellas Track Club. It's going to be, like, a merch, basically, like, a clothing company. It's going to be, again, like, I'm not trying to make it big here. Like, I'm not going to be the next
little
or Outdoor Voices or whatever, but, like, I don't know. It's just cool to try something that's, like, completely different and designing, like, clothing and, like, shipping it out myself and everything and just going through the whole process, like, starting, like, marketing plans and everything for it. Because it's not, like, I'm not doing brand deals. It's just completely different. And it's just, like, it's also tapping into my creative side because I stopped doing my food Instagram because I was just like, I just can't anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I just got to a point where I was like, I don't know. I was at a crossroads and I was like, I don't know what to do. So I'm excited for this next thing because it's just something completely different. And it sounds like that's what you're doing for you with YouTube.
Yeah.
I just think like,
no, that's great.
Yeah. I'm just like, I can't, like, I'm not going to become a TikToker. I don't. And everything I feel like is moving towards short form. Kind of. I don't know. YouTube will always stay though, but.
Yeah. No, I go back and forth on like that whole like, prediction of like what's going to be the best thing. And then like, I have to step back and be like, what do I actually want to do? Because I think like you're saying of like, I think that's awesome. You're doing merch and like having that new muscle to work of like, even though like for me with YouTube as like a corollary example, right now, YouTube is not making me any money. I bought a camera. I'm like, I have no following there. It's not leading to anything. But also like a lot of the work of social media, which I explained to some people, and I've actually explained this in the context of dating, and you might find this funny because this one guy was like, well, how, like, do you work? Like, what, you know, I always say to guys, I'm fun employed. I'm like, yeah, I work like kind of, but like, I'm also just like going to go on a run and it's fucking 3 p.m. Like I'm fun employed. Right. And I make a joke of it because like, I know that I have my shit together. Right. But yeah. Like for us, it is, I'm not saying like this work is like challenging as being a doctor. Right. But I'm saying it's like different in the sense that a lot of the times that you're posting, I would have to say 90% of the times I'm posting, there is zero monetary value that I'm making money off of this post. But a lot of the times that you're posting, it is kind of to maintain this status of like who you are. Like me posting a fucking meme on my story, yeah, that has no value, but maybe someone that works at this company then got it sent to them by their friend and they're like, wait, Kate is funny. I want to send her these granola bars from our fucking company. Maybe that ends up being one of my favorite companies. Maybe it leads to like a 5-figure brand deal. Like it's so strange that I think a lot of what you have to do is this like hidden work that maybe could make it for you one day. Like I landed my deal with Hoka because I got on TikTok and I just started posting like, here's what I'm wearing running. And every single comment was like, what are those shoes? Like, and I was like, oh my God, these are Hokas. Some random person at Hoka saw my videos, slid in my DMs and was like, yo, let's link. And like, if you, and I hate when I see those videos of like, you're only one video away from for going viral. But like,
that's not really how it works, but it is. Yeah. It is true. But that's like why it's also really important to be yourself because you have to make so much content around your personality and your life, whatever.
Yeah.
Exactly. End up like making money off of it. So you might like you have to be genuine or else it's not sustainable. Like what are you gonna make content about if it's not your real self?
Exactly. And I think like for me with YouTube, it's like, okay, maybe it's like not interesting, not getting anywhere, but like maybe something that I talk about in the video will lead to something down the road. Or like maybe you launching merch, like you will run into a designer that then will introduce you to this person, to this person. Like the world does work in like quirky ways like that. And so I feel like it's always a cool opportunity when you can try something new and it like leads you to different outcomes than you like thought. Like you're still going to make your merch and like do really well with that, but like it may lead to like an additional positive thing too with it, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's the thing with like being stuck too in sort of any like any area of your life. Like as long as you're moving forward in some way, like you said, you're not making money off of it, but it's like if it's something that you're excited about and you're, I don't know, excited about doing, then I feel like that's progress. And yeah, it's the same thing, like just moving forward, trying new things, because that's the only way about like the only way out is through. So if you're feeling stuck, you got to just keep chugging along and then I don't know, things end up working out, you know? So I'm not like really that worried. It just, it's like, it's not a fun place to be in when you're feeling like unmotivated and you don't
really know what you're doing.
Yeah.
No, I've been like gaslighting myself in my morning pages every morning. I'm like, which is just like a journaling thing that I do. I just like write 3 pages. It's from this book called The Artist's Way. And I've just been writing. I'm like, you know, you're going to get out of it soon. It'll be over soon. Like, trust the timing. Like, you're going to get out of it. And it's like funny, but you kind of have to like be delusional to that aspect. Otherwise you like will downward spiral and you will just be like doomsday. So you have to like almost play the like positive thing a lot in your head, even though it sounds crazy. Cause yeah, I'm with you. It's like hard to want to post when you're like down in the dumps, feeling like shitty about how you look, how you move, like all that stuff. I'm like, ugh, you guys don't need to see me like during this part of my life, you know?
This is so funny because like from other people's perspectives, like you probably don't change at all really.
Right.
Like exactly. I mean that's literally been me the last month. Like I feel like I've not posted at all because I'm just like I think it's also the lack of endorphins. I've come to realize, like, I just need that because I think it's made me a little bit down in the dumps in all areas of my life. So
no, like your post about your TikTok about like mental health running, like that was honestly a lot of it for me, like not having a release throughout the day, because I got a few DMs and it was like, hey, chill out, like just go read a book or like go learn a language. I'm like, I can do those things, but like once my brain chemistry has actually been rewired to crave movement every single day, and now that I don't have it for 4 weeks, a little bit different. Like I am reading the books, don't worry, I've been in bed like reading, but you know what I mean, like you still need that type of thing to be a healthy human.
And
yeah
it's just, I just did not realize that until this injury, honestly. This is the only time where I was like, wow, like I feel very different now that I don't have the movement in my day.
Yeah
like how people that don't exercise ever.
Yeah, well I also think too, I hit a point where I was like, well, I mean, this was like a down in the dumps moment where I was just like, well, what if I never run again? Like, what if there's something wrong with my knee and like physiologically, like I can't do the movement and I have to find something else? Or like, maybe I'm a Pilates girl for 40 years of my life, right? Like,
I feel like you do other forms of exercise too. Like
and like when I was a volleyball player, I was like, I'm never going to be a runner. Like, fuck that. So like, I don't doubt that I could like pivot in some way. I'm not saying I want to pivot away from running. Like I do want to get back into it, but I think that's like another thing mentally that I think I've been getting into the like interesting like literature about pain and like how your brain and your body connect and stuff like that too, because you take, let's say as an example, one person is running or two people are running. They both break a bone on their run. One person keeps going for 2 minutes and they're like, my leg feels weird, I'm going to stop. One person keeps going for 20 more miles and then they're like, my leg hurts, I'm going to stop. They've done studies on this and like we all have different levels of pain receptors in our body, kind of explaining why some people can do that, some people can't. Now, if you're the person that can run 20 miles and like get through the pain, you have a really high pain tolerance, but it can be dangerous because you like push yourself through pain a lot. But oftentimes your body goes through more adaptations when it comes to like, if you're having a lift session, you will put on more weight than your body can do because your brain like thinks it can take it. But the other people that are like pretty intolerant of any sort of pain, like you, sometimes they don't make strides at the gym because they're like, they never add the extra 5 pounds at the end of the set or something like that. And it's interesting, like I never believed the shit of like what you say impacts your recovery, right? Like that sounds like pseudo woo woo garbage to me. But there's like this book I read called Why Woo Woo Works. And it's all about like, it's this guy who's like in the pharmaceutical industry. And he went and studied like Reiki, he went and studied crystals, and they did a lot of placebo studies of like telling these people, like, you have a Reiki practitioner and you have this person. And it's like what people think about the healing. If you have a coach that believes in you, and for like a recovery, like 60% more likely to get out of that. If you have a teacher that you feel supported by, you're going to do better on a test. And so it's like, it's crazy. It feels wonky to think that like, if I have a bad attitude about my injury, it's going to nag on longer versus if I believe like, I'm going to be okay and like, whatever. So I've been trying to tap into that because I'm normally not the most like positive, like manifestation girly. But then when I read it and like there's clinical studies to back it up, I'm like, damn, okay, maybe I get in line with that shit now, you know?
I mean, the power of the mind, it's like genuinely crazy. I mean, you hear about those stories where it's like people, I don't know, that are like really sick and like, I don't know, they're going to die or whatever. And then they have positive thinking or whatever. And
yeah.
They heal themselves and it's a miracle. Like it, and I feel like I believe it. I don't know. Like even, I feel like I've done like a lot of like cognitive behavioral therapy on myself for a lot of like my body image issues and stuff like that. And it's just like so crazy. Like if you train your mind in a certain way, like what you can overcome and stuff. So, I mean, I believe all of it. Like,
yeah,
I think it's hard to consistently. I'm not really intentional about it. Like I'm not reading books about it and manifesting it every day, but.
No, that's what I think I've like, I believe it and I'm like, yep, 100% makes sense. Got it. Like good for you guys. But it's hard to like practice it in a very routine way, which is like the thing that I've been like trying to do this time. I'm like, okay.
I mean, it's hard. Like it's working your brain like that is really, really difficult. Oh, this is, it's just like so hard to explain. I don't know. Like,
and like
the cognitive behavioral therapy stuff, like it's genuinely really hard to do and to be consistent with it because it's just, your brain is like, it's not like exercise where it's like you run for 30 minutes and then you stop. Like your brain is like working all day long. So to challenge your thoughts and like think in a different perspective, I don't know. It's exhausting. And you almost have to like put in all of your effort to like think, to rewire your brain in that way.
Yeah. No, it's tough. And like, I think the first part of the injury, I was like so exhausted physically from like just trying to like get through stuff throughout the day with like the pain in my knee and like walk to the grocery store. And I was like, that hurts, you know? Then I'd get to the grocery store and I'd like, okay, deep breath. Like, well, now go buy the groceries. Like, it felt like everything was a really long enduring task. But I think like, even if I've tried to meditate, which has been like the part of wellness that I'm really like bad at, like I don't have a meditation practice. I don't do any mindfulness stuff. My worst wellness trait is that I will look at my phone right before going to bed. And I know like Andrew Huberman, everyone, literally everyone is like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's my sweet little treat. Like that is the one habit that it like, I fucking suck at. I wake up and I will be checking my notifications. Like, sorry, that's how I am. I maybe won't be like that forever. But yeah, I don't have like a whole meditation thing in my routine because I just have convinced myself that I can never be chill. Like I'm like, I will never find enjoyment in that. But yeah, that's been the thing that I've been trying to challenge. So maybe next time we chat, I'll be like a fucking meditation girl. But right now I don't think it's in the cards for me. I've tried.
I mean, I feel the same. Like, I also don't really have a meditation routine. I've tried it in the past, and I feel like it's the same thing. Like, rewiring your brain in that way, it just takes, like, so much constant effort. And so I've just never been able to get into, like, an actual consistent routine. Like, I see people post on their stories, they're like, I've meditated 20 days in a row. I'm like, must be nice. Like, I cannot get through, like, 7 days in a row, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, the time, I feel like it's not even doing anything, so then I just give up. So I'm not, like, very consistent with it. It's not the same way. And it's the same thing. Like, I think I've just written it off. Like, I'm like, oh,
it won't be me.
It's not for me. Yeah. It won't be me. But you can, I feel like you can really mold yourself into anything if you try hard enough. So it probably could be us, but
it could be us.
But I like your little dopamine in the morning and at night.
Love it. I love it. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like a sweet meme. Like, oh my God. My counterpoint to it, which is like such an annoying point that I know is not backed by science, but I'm like, okay, I'm living in the 21st century. I have a smartphone at my hand. I would be goofy to not use it, right? Like on C Muscular, we did an episode about like low dopamine, which like a low dopamine morning routine, which are like blowing up on TikTok with like not being addicted to your phone and like doing that. And I'm at this whole point of like, my grandma would be so grateful to have an iPhone and be able to Google anything she wants. Quick information at her hands.
WebMD search in the morning.
Just a quick, do I have cancer? It's 7 a.m. No, let's just start off the morning with something nice, then just play some sad music to start off the day. No, but like my counterpoint to anyone who's like, oh, like I deleted my social media and I'm going to get off phones. Like that's great if it works for you. And I know there are bad sides to social media, but like I just take it on such a positive side of like so much you're able to learn and do. And if, but you have to like use it correctly to a degree, you know? So like, yeah, I'm like, why can't I view a meme? Like, come on. Like, let me have my little memes, please.
I don't think I'm like addicted to my phone. I mean,
yeah,
I like use it all the time because it's my job. I will say, same. I feel like it's just so ingrained into my lifestyle that
same.
I'm just on it a lot. Like, obviously, like what I was thinking about was if I like, I don't know, completely vanished from the internet and I just deleted all of my accounts or whatever, it would be crazy to go throughout my day not posting something on the internet. Like, it would be wild to not, like, think of something and be like, I need to put that as my Instagram story. Like,
yeah.
Well, so no. I feel like in that way, it's really altered me. And I really do wonder what it's like on the other side where it's like, that's not even a factor in my day. Because, I mean, the internet, it's like, it's not, it really isn't real life. But I also enjoy it a lot.
Same.
I don't really think, I don't know. I feel like I just see the internet and social media from like a different perspective where like I don't really fall into the comparison trap and I don't really find that it like negatively impacts me that much.
Yeah. Cause I think now it's like our job. So it's like, okay, like I see it kind of for what it is. I see that like it profits off, like, you know, the algorithms profit off of this and like these type of creators and this, this, and this. I think I see all the nuances to it. And also that point you just made about like my phone versus my job. I, for example, I text my mom, my family group chat, my friend Emma that I do CMOS girlies with, maybe two other people throughout the week. Like, I would not be on my phone. I'm not in any group texts. I'm not, like, FaceTiming people, like, that often. I'm FaceTiming family and friends usually. So it's like, I wouldn't be on my phone that much, I'm guessing, if I didn't have to, like, ever have an Instagram. Like, if Instagram didn't exist as a concept.
That too. Like, I feel like, I remember, I was, like, cornered at a party by this dude a couple of years ago. Yeah, that sounds bad. No, but he was, like, I hadn't really, like, met him before, but he was, like, around our friend group or whatever. And he asked me, he's, like, what would you do if, like, your accounts got deleted, all of your accounts got deleted tomorrow? I was, like,
well, yeah, I've gotten that before.
I was, like, I don't know, like, probably get, like, a normal job or something. Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously it would shake my world up just because it is my job, whatever. Like, anyone would. Like, if your job got taken away, obviously you'd be shaken up. But, like, would I be devastated to the point of, like, I don't know. I feel like
mental crisis. Yeah.
He was expecting, like, a different reaction from me. And I was like, he wouldn't take my answer where I would be like, I would be okay with it. Like, I don't really get validation from social media. I think that's it, where it's like, I don't care about the Instagram likes. That's not what gives me, like, purpose in this life. I just enjoy sharing my life and connecting with people. But, like, I'm not going out on, like, throughout my day being like, oh my gosh, like, I'm irrelevant or anything.
Or, as I said earlier, like, I don't even know how many likes my last Instagram post got. Like, I don't even know what I posted on my story yesterday and, like, who interacted with it. Like, did people DM me? Did people like? Like, I don't care about that stuff, you know? It is weird that it's kind of, like, people are just following along, like, us living our lives, which is the thing that feels, like, a little bit weird sometimes. It's, like, this is just, like, a weird job that I can just, like, live and, like, share. And, like, I also get to choose that, but I also kind of have to be smart about it. So, like, I kind of get brand deals and this thing, and, you know, like, it is a little bit of, like, a weird job, right? But I've also been asked that too by guys who are like, oh my God, like, what would you do? And I'm like, probably go to law school, or, like, probably, like, run the social media brand of a company I like. Like, I'm not pigeonholed to do this forever. And also for me, like, I've also said, like, I don't want to do this forever. Like, I've been very clear, like, I do not want to be posting face when I'm 40. Like, I will not be pivoting.
That's what I mean. I feel like I almost have senioritis. Like, I've done this for so long.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing it. Obviously, that's, like, why I've done it so long. But it's, like, I'm really thinking about my next chapter here. You know, I'm getting older.
Like, yeah, a point that I've thought about recently, and then I was like, wait, fuck that point that you just made, is, like, the point I just said of, like, oh, I could run social media for a brand one day, right? Which is very different than being an influencer, because I have, like, the back and forth that I've had with brands sometimes has been so chaotic. Like, when we're going to post and then I get an email, like, a minute before I'm supposed to post, like, actually, can you not post? And can you redo this whole thing and take the edit down and, like, do that? And I'm like, what? And then I get an email from someone else at the company who's like, I need the translation in France. Can you, like, bleh? And I'm like, what the fuck's going on at this company? Like, I go back to being myself. I close the laptop and I just do my little shit posting that's not associated with any brand stuff. And I'm like, it is so nice to be your own boss. It is so nice to not have, like, little, like, elves that are, like, running through all this shit in your an email inbox. And so I don't actually think I would enjoy running social media for a brand. I don't think I would love all of the, like, hurdles you have to go through to make it look, like, presentable, and then, like, go through a Monday morning meeting on a presentation on Zoom and be like, here was our analytics from the reel we posted last week. I would not give a fuck about that. I don't know about you, but I don't think I would want to do that job at all.
No, same. Like, I feel like people think when they see the social media manager, like, seems
similar
than it is. I've done social media management in the past, like, a long time ago before I went full time with my stuff.
Yeah,
and it's just like completely different, and it's just, especially because we have the option to do our own stuff, so it's like, why would we choose to jump through a bunch of hurdles? But I mean, I'm just then, because then it feels less fulfilling as well, because then I'm on social media all the time, but it's like for someone else. I don't even know. Yeah. It's like, I'm not even on it because I want to be on it. I don't even know how to explain it. It's just, I wouldn't work in social media. I would do, like, some stuff behind the scenes, but, like, I don't want to be posting on social media if I'm not doing what I do now, you know?
I totally agree. I think there's ways that I could be, like, working for a brand and enjoying it, but I don't think of, like, for me, like, the analytics, as I said, is not, like, the sexy stuff that excites me, so I'm just kind of, like, yeah, I don't know about that. So maybe not that as a future job if TikTok collapses tomorrow and we all have to figure something else out. Who knows?
Oh my gosh, like the scares that you have, like, every 6 months where they're like, oh my gosh, TikTok's getting banned in the US.
I know. I mean, I've had my account permanently banned. It had to go to, like, the TikTok ops, like,
I remember that happening.
I was so pressed. It was, like, right when I started working with Hoka, and then I was like, hey guys, so my account has been banned for bullying, I guess, because men are mean and they blocked my shit. So they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, no, I'm not. No, just the trolls on the internet, guys. Don't worry about it.
How is your dating life? I'm curious.
I've been trying to be more private with it because just...
Okay, I don't have to talk about it if you don't want.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm seeing someone now. It's going
okay, well. Exciting.
Yeah, but I feel like I say that a lot to people, and then they're like, what happened? And I'm like, I don't know. They got sick of me, I guess. Like, I don't know. So yeah, I'm seeing someone. It's good.
Do you guys meet on Hinge?
Actually, met in an interesting way. I'll tell you off pod.
Okay, yeah, you don't have to tell us to the internet.
It's because the fucking past, people have like DM me shit and like put things together through the smallest amount of fucking details, and I'm like, I don't know how you guys have full-time jobs and also you care that much about a niche person like me's dating life.
Hey, honestly, I get it though, because dating content is interesting. I eat it up. And I mean, yeah. I talk like, a little bit about dating, but like not actually the personal details. And I don't think I ever, like, I don't know, even like little situations that I'm in, like I'm not posting about that on the internet because people will figure it out and then people will give your opinions and stuff. Like, just, I do think
vague statements, yeah,
private until it's like really, really official.
I know, and I've always thought that concept of, like, I think also I've had, I'll talk about dating in a broad sense, it's been weird being a social media person with dating men, because for me, it's like, if we're meeting on an app, they probably will be like, oh, like, let's go out or something, or like, what's your, and then I start talking about my job, they're like, well, what's your Instagram or something like that, and I'm just like,
would you give it to them or no?
There's been situations where I have and I haven't. I think most of the time I don't want to come across as like I'm hiding something, so I will. And then they'll be like, oh, like 7 of my friends follow you. And I'm like, okay, like, I don't know what to do about that. Like, do you want to go like talk to them? And then I get into this point of like surveillance state where their friends are like looking for me to post about my dating life or something to see if their friend comes up. So then that kind of was the most, that's been some recent things of the past few people I've seen of like this whole surveillance mechanism where I'm just like, what? I don't want to share anything because I'm just, people are reading into my stories. Is this about this guy? And I'm like, no, like men are not the main character in my fucking Instagram story series. Like it's just goofy stuff. So yeah, it's been weird. And like, I think also just describing that, like I'm a fucking content creator, lack of respect from men about it, has been, you know, that's been always a constant theme from men most of the time when I talk about it, which is like fine. Like I get it's like what, like a fake job to a degree, like, but also like you doing your little Excel sheet, there's some bullshit aspects to that too, right? Like we all have little things about our job that are not like serving the most good to society that we could be serving, right? And so I think it has actually been hard from like a values perspective to find someone that gets why I do social media, because I get it. Like when you think of influencer, you think of like Alex Earle, like you're probably just like, oh, she's like posting like makeup videos. Like what's the fucking point of this, you know? And for me, it's like, I do have a purpose behind doing it. Like I wouldn't just be posting to post. It's like, I do feel like I impact young women and their like relationship with body and exercise and movement. Like it is a lot of like my purpose to like do this, and if you don't get that, we're probably not compatible. And I don't know if you've dealt with like, yeah, that whole dynamic with like social media and dating people and shit.
I feel like I haven't found someone that's like really looked down upon it.
Yeah,
I have more friends I think that I meet like in real life where they're like, oh, you're an influencer. Yeah. But like, I don't know, if I'm dating someone, I feel like people have like respected it, I think, because, and then I mean, I tell them what I do and I try to like explain it in person most of the time, like,
yeah,
whatever. And then, you know, it's not like I'm just like an Instagram model. It's like I have
exactly
a podcast, YouTube, whatever. So I feel like, and especially nowadays, like it's just more socially acceptable, I think.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, I've been on like Hinge dates in the past or whatever, and it's the same sort of like thing where you explain what you do for work, then they ask you what your Instagram is, or like, I don't know, it's pretty easy to find people when you're chatting on Hinge. So yeah. All someone has to do is look up my freaking name and on YouTube, and then it'll come up. So it's like a very odd dynamic then, because if we do end up going on a date, they already know so much more about me than I know about them.
Yes.
So it's like a very, very weird dynamic.
Yes. Oh my God. That amazing. Because I feel that way too with parasocial stuff of like people that even just like DM you or stuff, or that you like see out in the wild. Like for in New York, I think that probably like happens just frequently because it's like super dense, and like a lot of people that follow me live in like the same 4 blocks, I'm imagining. And so like if someone stops me, they'll be like, oh my God, like how's your knee injury going? How's this? How's your dad? And I'm like, oh, like I want to be able to engage in like a fully participatory like thing here, but this is like, you know a lot about me and I like unfortunately don't know anything about you. So I feel that 100%. And like the dating thing, I'm always like, for me, like let's switch the roles. Let's say the guy was the influencer and I was like the 9-to-5 person. Like, would I go and watch all of their YouTube videos and like see what they're like? I would probably go on a date with them and then kind of think about that after, because I think I've liked it the most where they don't look me up until they meet me. And then you can go and like judge. And like one of the guys I saw, he was like, yeah, if I'm gonna be honest, like you're exactly like what I thought, like based on your Instagram. And I was like, thanks. Like, I guess, like, yeah, sure, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The last guy I went on a date with, he like, I didn't tell him what like my channel was or anything, but of course he found it. It was easy. I was like, oh my gosh. And he's like, yeah, but I didn't watch any of the videos for that reason. Like, he wanted to like meet me.
Yeah.
He actually watched it. I was like, geez, like honestly, probably I would have no self-control and I'd be smashing let's watch.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I would probably watch too out of curiosity if I liked them and shit.
It would depend on how much we were talking before we went on a date, I think.
Yeah. And it would be weird too, because like I also think I've run into issues, not issues, but just kind of that like question of like, okay, I've never had a boyfriend, but I'm just like, if I were to go official, like what would would I just say on my TikToks like, yeah guys, I have a boyfriend now, would he be revealed? Probably not, unless he wanted to. But I'm also like, I don't know. It's this whole thing where I'm like, I don't think these guys would want to be on my Instagram per se, because I feel like people are freaks and people would go and like DM them and harass them and like do shit. You know what I mean? And like, that just seems so unhealthy for like a relationship. And like, I mean, not even to get started about the people that just like their whole account is like monetizing their fucking relationship. Like, I don't know how y'all do it out there.
That's, I don't know how people like that do it either. I think the next time like a dude is on my like social media, I'm like, this dude's gonna be the one. But like, also I say like the next boyfriend I have has to be the one, because I can't do it anymore.
Girl, literally me, every time I meet a man, it's like, okay, so this one is my boyfriend and we're not going back in the streets because we found
one. I refuse to go back in the streets. Like, maybe I don't even have an anxious attachment style. I really do think I have a secure one, but I just like,
I'm tired.
I like someone, I'm like, we got to make this work, you know?
Exactly. Like, oh my God. I saw TikTok back
in the streets, and it's so rare that I actually like have a spark with someone that it's
too
far between and I try to hang on.
No, but exactly. I saw a TikTok today of this girl and she was like, I am not built for the dating apps, because as soon as I match someone, go out with them once, I like assume that we are like a thing and we are communicating with only each other. We both are about to delete the apps, like whatever. And like, I've been trying to go back and forth in that, because I feel like I get played when I'm like, put all my cards in one basket. Then the whole like dating multiple people at once, I'm like, this is not it. Like, I can't keep my eggs in the basket and like remember shit. And also, it doesn't feel like it's actually going to lead to a fruitful connection to be dating multiple people at the same time, you know?
I fully agree. Like, I'm a lover girl to the day I die. Same. Like, I'm a monogamous queen. Like, first of all, it's just like so rare that I like someone. Like, so rare. I feel like I have a lot of like weird crushes, I will say. Like, I crush on people. Same. But like, to actually like someone and want to date them, like, it is so few and far between. So if I do get to that point, I think it's like also in my own head where I'm just like, the feeling like has to be mutual. Like, there's no way this other person can be talking to other people, you know? Like,
same
connection. And because I'm a type of person, like, I can't talk to more than one person at a time.
Yeah.
Like,
so I'm like, you must like, be like
dating
that too.
Apps. Like, there's, if I'm going on a date with someone, like, it's one person at a time. Like, I'm not going on 5 dates in 1 week. Like, I'm not planning.
No.
I don't know why. I wish I could be the other way, because apparently that's how the dating world is these days. But I'm like, I don't know. I'm one monogamous queen.
Well, like, I just feel like people in New York specifically get so messy with it, where like, you hit on girls at a bar and then you go on a date and then there's someone in your DMs and then there's a friend of a friend at a roof party. And I'm just like, they're not meaningful connections. You can't really do. And if you just want to date like that, that's fine. But like, if you're looking for the outcome of a monogamous partner one day, like, it's not going to get there. And I feel like I get in the freaky paranoid point when I talk to my friends about this, because like, my older sister got married in last year in August, and they were dating for like 4 or 3 years before they got engaged, right? And like, moved in together like after 2 years together. And so like, I get this paranoia, and this is like a deep-rooted like insecure fear of mine of like never having that, because the timing has to be right. Like, you have to like someone, they have to like you. You both have to want the same thing. You both have to like go through a lot of milestones together of like dating for a long-term period of time, living together for a little bit, doing that. Okay, so let's say that like, I hypothetically meet someone right now. We date for a year. It doesn't work out. I have to go back to the fucking streets, and I have to date someone for at least another year to get to that same fucking point. Then that's another year of my, 2 years of my life now. Then fuck, that didn't work. Then I'm back. And that's the thing that really gets in my fucking head, because it does, like, I've never had like I've never had that where it's just like, I have a person, you know what I mean? Like, I can process time and like live a life with them and grow with them. And so I'm just like, how the fuck do you get out of this like one date, two date, like hell that I've been in, where I'm like, I can't find one person. Like, what the
fuck? Okay. That's, I think you and I are on the same page where it's like, I mean, I've had like boyfriends here and there, but I haven't had like a long-term one. Like, the longest one I've had is like 4 months. So it's like,
And that was so long ago now. And yeah. I don't know how people, I don't know if it's like, I don't know how people find these people. I don't really get it. I have that fear too. Like, and it's more the, I don't know. Like, first of all, I just want like a good experience. Like, I feel like I've only had like kind of like traumatic experiences in the dating world. I'm always like, the one that's getting my heart ripped out. And I was like, yep. I don't want to rip someone's heart out. That's not my like goal. But I'm like, can I have one positive, like mutual good experience? Because I haven't really had that yet. Yeah. It's the same thing where it's like, I don't really want to date. I'm old now. Like I'm 26. I don't want to date someone for a year. And then since I'm like such a lover girl and like I'm a simp and I just, it's going to take me a while to get over it probably.
Yeah. So totally. Then, we have to adjust for that too.
then I have to adjust for another like year. I feel like after that, where I'm just like,
down in the dumps.
Recovering. I'm like, I just want my next person to be the right person, but obviously, like, you can't rush it, whatever. And, okay, do you find it hard as a tall woman, though? Like, have you had struggles? Because I feel like that, it doesn't play like a, I don't know, I'm not self-conscious about my height at all, but obviously, like, it plays some sort of role in the dating.
This is the biggest point that is, like, annoying thing, because I can't, it's an immutable characteristic I can't do jack shit about. I have probably gone on a date with, I've probably kissed under 10 boys that were taller than me. I've, and I get that shit on the internet. Kate, why don't you date shorter? Oh, I have. The 5'11 boys on the dating apps are 5'9.5. I have dated shorter. Like, fucking trust me. And for me, like, I've never had an issue with height. It has been, I'm going to say, awkward, like, sexually with guys that are shorter, like, romantically. Like, I don't know. That part has been hard for me. But I've really had this like weird like issue with short kings where they have this like Napoleon complex where they feel like they have to overcompensate because I'm like powering over them or something. And I don't know. It also leads to body image issues with me where I'm like, if someone's shorter than me and like tiny, I'm just like, I feel really awkward. I don't know. So that sucks. Current guy I'm seeing is taller than me. Thank God. But it's hard. And like this shit on dating apps, you have to like pay to fucking have height as a filter. You used to not have to pay. And I'm like, it's not fair. Like, what
it's
the fuck?
It's not fair for tall people like us. It's not fair.
I'm, like, not a giant if you put me next to a man that is 6'1", but I am a giant like, next to a 5'8 dude. Like, it is awkward. And, like, if you're 5'2", like, what the fuck's the issue? Like, whenever I'm on a dating app and I look and then I'm like, this guy looks great, 5'9". This guy looks great, 5'9". If I was a bitch that was 5'3", I would be wiping up these 5'9", like, Jewish kings in New York because they are so hot and, like,
funny. And there's a lot of, like, hot short kings. And I also, like, I go for a pretty face. And there's, like, a lot of beautiful, like, 5'8 men out there that I would swoop up, I feel like. But it's, just, like, it's the same thing with, like, the body dysmorphia. And also, like, I feel like many girls out there, it's, like, you don't want to feel like the big one. And I don't want to feel like the dominant, huge one, you know?
Yes, I don't want to feel huge. Is that too much to ask?
I don't want to feel huge. I want to see someone that's like my equivalent, like give me a 6'5 king.
Exactly. And you and I are also athletes. And I think for a long time, like my mom was a professional volleyball player. My dad, like not much of an athlete, but like, I think she and I were talking about this where she's like, Kate, like not saying the guy you're dating, like has to be an athlete, whatever the fuck, but like you clearly care about your health and your wellness a lot. And like, that's as like a value to you, right? Like you might view it as like, this is like a physical characteristic that I have, but like the fact that you wake up and you have this discipline and like do these certain things, like it clearly is important to you. You need to find someone with that. Cause for a long time I was just like, yeah, he doesn't work out. And like, he just like doesn't cook at all and doesn't do any of this shit and like whatever. And I kind of brushed it off because I was like, there's other things that we have in common. But then I was like, wait, like, yeah, I don't want to feel huge. And I'm like also a jock. And like, I want a guy that like has those values too. You know what I mean? Yeah, it sucks. I'm like, go for the fucking short kings if you're short, respectfully. Like, if there's any short kings in your area, like, they're probably fine. Every inch a man grows over 6 feet tall, he gets stupider because he doesn't have to, like, have thoughts. Like, if I'm going to be honest, like, all the guys that are, like, 6'3", like, just get away with, like, hanging out up there. And, like, they don't have to have much personality to match for it. So,
do you watch Love Island at all or no?
No, I'm, like, not a TV girly, but I need to get into that.
No, it was just funny because there was, like, this 1.65 guy that's on there right now, and I'm not going to say that all tall dudes don't have a personality because I definitely have some, like, tall friends that do, but it was just, like, a perfect example of what you're saying right now because there's this 6'5 guy. He's, like, a good-looking dude, you know? He's not, like, the hottest person ever, but he's, like, good-looking, but he's definitely the tallest in the villa, whatever.
Yeah.
No personality at all. Like, I don't know a thing about him, and he's not funny. Like, there's nothing about him.
Yeah.
Every girl that walks in is swooning over this man. And I was like,
you hate to see it.
Yeah, I don't. I'm just like, sheesh, you know?
It's literally like a spell on girls. I hate it.
I know, including me. You know, I'd probably be swooning for the 6'5" man too. You know, I
have you ever dated like? Have you ever dated like an athlete, like a guy that's an NBA? Because I've never gone down that rabbit hole of like a dude that's like an actual athlete, really.
No, I've not dated. I mean, I dated someone on my cross country team. Okay. So no. Other than that, like no. My last boyfriend was 6'8" though, so that was beautiful. Like that was magnificent. Crazy. I remember seeing him for the first time and being like we were standing and I was like.
Oh, like, I feel tiny. It's
like, oh my goodness. Like, giving him a hug, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so petite and small and really feminine, you know? And
it's like all those memes of like, I'm so tiny. Like, I can't fit into Brandy Melville.
I'm just literally small. Like, I'm going to be blown away in the wind because of this man next to me.
Oh,
so but no, I haven't gone down the athlete route because I don't know.
I'm like, where is that going to go? Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm the athlete. I don't need that. Like,
I would like that, but I don't know how that would work out. I don't know. Like, I'm not interacting with them on a daily basis. I'm also not going to be hitting them up on Instagram because they'll look at my Instagram and be like, you're not getting skin on my Instagram. So.
No, dude, that's also like the weird, like when you're talking about Instagram and guys and dating, like that's another like low key, like insecurity I have about like my Instagram. Like I'm very secure in actually like what I post and shit, but then I'm like, fuck, like I texted my friend Ricky the other day. I was like, you know how they say that like if it's the right one he won't run away if you do anything gross, or like he won't be scared? And he's like, yeah, why? And I'm like, you know what, I think I could scare away my future husband. Like I think I actually could. And I just get this fear of like, I like a guy, whatever, we go on a few dates, he's like, what's your Instagram? And then he starts seeing me like batshit posting Lana Del Rey stories, like lyrics to the story, and he's gonna be like, oh, you're a freak, bye. You know, like you're just saying, like,
so I think there is a right person. I mean, maybe I'm biased. Yeah. I'm just an insane person. Like my personality, it's like, I'm a loud person. Like I was talking to my PT and she's 5'3" and she's like, no one thinks I'm 5'3" because I have like a loud personality. I'm like, geez, well, I can't imagine what people think of me. I'm 5'11 and 2/3 and my personality is loud and annoying.
Yeah.
Like,
that's funny. I do agree.
I think I will find the right person, but like,
yeah.
I'm also not gonna change, like, just I'm not gonna post super hot pics only. Like, sorry.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, it would be inauthentic to me, but I do think that like it was really fucking scary when I was hanging out with a guy and then like his guy friends and like seeing how they interact on Instagram, and they were like scrolling and they were like following Instagram models and basically like going through their feed, they were like, oh my god, this chick's so hot. And they like showed each other and then they were like, oh my god, look at my ex. Like, fuck. Like, that's how they were, like some straight dudes, like not all, but like that's how they were interacting. And I was just like, that's like low-key really scary to see that that's like how guys interact with social media. Not saying that's how they interact with us necessarily. Like, I get some reply guys who are like, yo,
well, yeah, no one's on my feed. I mean,
I'm doing that.
Two pics every once in a while, but no one's like, oh, she's so hot.
No, you know? like I don't get the thirst in the DMs. I get like, Kate, what's a prebiotic? Like, I get those DMs.
But, like, you know? I don't really care. Like, if they do interact in that way, then they're not meant for me. Because, like,
exactly.
You're not going to get that for me. And I don't seek validation from men. And that's why I'm single forever. Because I just will not do it unless it's the right person. Because
I Which is good.
Invested. It is. I think it is good. Keeps me mentally sane. I will say I've had many bouts of loneliness that eat at me.
Same.
A lot. Like, a lot. But I think it's just better than being like tormented by someone that doesn't care, you know? So it's like, that's why
I think one click that I had about like attachment styles, because like, I also feel like I'm a very secure person. Like, I think whenever it's been the wrong person, I've had the anxious shit come up.
I'm but it's just the wrong person.
Exactly. I'm like, okay, obviously you're concerned when he's going to text you next, because it's like clearly not the right one. But I think I heard this good quote about like getting over that, you know, like a guy that doesn't text you back, but you're still waiting on it. And like starting to view bad communication as a turnoff, like viewing it as like, ew, that's like disgusting that he wouldn't text me right away. Like, I am not offended, but I'm like turned off by that. And that actually helped me a lot. Like with guys, I'm just like, oh, that's gross that you would like not text me this and not ask me about how my day is and not ask me about this cool thing I was doing that you clearly fucking knew about. So like viewing it as not like they did something, but it's more like this is how they are. And like, that's a turnoff to me. Like, it's a non-negotiable, like, fuck you.
Yeah. I'm curious. Sorry. This is like, I feel like this podcast is taking many turns and we were going over time, but I'm curious. How do you deal? Well, you've never had like a boyfriend, you say, but I'm sure you've had like situation breakups.
Yeah.
How do you handle that? Like, what's your go-to? If someone, I guess, I mean, it's kind of
advice.
If like someone breaks up with you or you break up with them, like, are you going no contact? Are you guys going to be friends? Like, what's the vibe?
Oh, no, I'm no contact. Like, if you're based, like, I'm a Scorpio, and I think that's one thing when people read astrology to me, because I don't know much about it. Like, if things end with us, and even if it's, like, amicable, like, you will never hear from me again. If you text me and you ask me, like, what pair of Hokas should I buy? Like, you are pretty much never going to hear from me again. I've done that for my sanity, kind of like thinking about like, what was my life before this person? And I think that's the healthiest pattern of like trying to get back to that. You know, like, I think when you do get really infatuated with someone and you kind of like change your day to day, like you're hanging out at their place and you have like little bits of your life that now remind you of them. I just have to be like, Kate, you were like a full person that like did your whole thing without them before. You can go back to doing that. But I've definitely had dudes text, like, almost always I've had guys text me, like, hey, just want to, like, happy birthday, you know, like, I've always had guys come back, which is, like, fine and fair and stuff, but it's, like, if it didn't work, I do believe, like, timing is a big thing, and I have had interesting situations where, like, maybe we didn't go out, and then we didn't see each other ever, and then we did go out, and, like, timing was different there, but it's, like, if it ends, and you say, like, I don't want anything romantic, it's, like, we're probably not really going to be friends. Like, I can't like sleep with you and then like now just like hang with you and learn about your new girlfriend. Like, that does not check out for me really. So yeah, for me, it's the whole like no contact thing. But also like another thing, dating, I've done most of my dating through dating apps, right? So when you're on a dating app, you're meeting strangers. You probably don't have a mutual friend in common. And I think that's why ghosting happens, because there's no third link that is like holding you accountable to not being a shitty person. Like, if you go on one date with someone.
We talked about this last year. I think this is because I've brought that up many times to people, where it's like, yeah, you don't have, and there's nothing holding you accountable to be a normal, like, sane person, to cut it off and be amicable. It's like ghosting central, because you'll never talk to them again.
Yeah. And so I think now, like, when I've had dating stuff kind of fizzle or something like that, I think more and more I've actually had like mutual connection things with dating. And then I think it's like, we've kind of held on to it longer because we both didn't want to like make it awkward. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's hard. I'm also like not pressed to like be married tomorrow, but I know it, like, I think I have shifted since seeing my sister get married, even though we're very different people, of like, okay, I do want to build a life with someone. Like, living alone is like very isolating and lonely, and like not how we are supposed to be as humans, to the extent of my knowledge. So like, I know I want that. When and how it happens, like, I don't know. But yeah, I'm the same as you. I've been single forever, so I'm like very like fine with like foam rolling my butt and going to bed at 9 p.m. Like, I don't like need that, but like would like that. I'm very like, I love love. I love to see it. So would love for it to happen, you know?
Yeah, same. And I'm the same with no contact. I literally tell them like, oh, I'm never gonna, like, we're never gonna be friends. I say it bluntly, like, to their face. I was like,
yeah, and they think you're joking. Like,
well, because I think a lot of, I don't know how they do it, a lot of dudes, at least in my life, they've wanted to be friends after. I'm like, no, no chance. Like,
yeah.
I tell them to their face, do not text me. We are not going to be friends. And yeah, every single one of my situations has been amicable. There's never been one that's like,
yeah.
Again, because I think I'm like a secure person where it's like, same. If it's not going to work out, then we're just not meant to be together. And I don't think that reflects on my value at all or theirs.
Same. Yeah, no, I've had the same. I've never had like a bad situation end. It's been amicable every single time. But then I'm like, okay, we're both sitting here at the table. We both know that we're done. Sayonara. Like, you don't need to hit me up later. You know what I mean?
Because a lot of the times, like, I'm still, I don't know, when it's ended, like, I'm still, I feel like I'm always the one that ends up getting hurt.
Me too.
So I'm still hurt, but I'm not going to be, like, bitter about it. But yeah. I also know my boundaries for my own sanity. Like, I will not be talking to you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hear about your new girlfriend. Absolutely not.
Yeah, like, what, like, what joy is that going to bring me in my day?
It's not. And that's why I don't, I'm like, how, like, do you want to hear about my new boyfriend? Like, are you really that emotionally unattached to me?
Exactly.
I don't get it.
It's goofy. I don't know the male brain. I don't think I will ever get it. We just can hope and we can pray. Because I think, like, love would be cute one day. You know what I mean? But, like, who knows?
I agree, but we're fine in the meantime.
We're fine. We're just injured. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. This podcast, I won't keep you on for any longer because we've literally gone.
We've done.
Now we're going full circle back to the injury part. I literally wrote down like all my notes for this podcast and I have not looked at it one time. I feel like that's a good conclusion.
Yeah. I mean, we could do a part two if you guys want next week before we answer your questions, but like, I'm chilling. We're good.
I'm chilling. I think that was good. But, you know, we talked about what we need to talk about. This is like a little therapy session, I think.
Truly. No, truly. Yeah. Free therapy. Zoom therapy.
Okay, well, where can people follow you and all
your stuff? all the stuff. So my name, Kate Glavin, which is just like my everything because I'm like too lazy to like change it. So that's like my Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube now. I have a podcast with my friend Emma as well, who lives in New York, and it's called CMS Girlies. It's all about health and wellness. We try to make like really wonky stuff like the gut microbiome or like magnesium, like more accessible to people. Probably have seen our memes, which is like where I feel like we're more dominant. The Instagram page is just CMS Girlies, and we post 3 banging memes a day about weird health and wellness stuff. So head on over to there.
One day when I like, I looked really.
One day were you spammed?
But I literally spammed. I think I was on your page like scrolling through those memes. I'm not kidding, for over an hour. Because then I was saving all of them because I was like, I need to post these periodically because I cannot post these on my story all the time. Oh,
thanks. It's no, so they're fun funny. To do. Yeah, it's so fun. We get, it's funny whenever like Emma and I in New York have like gone to like wellness things and there's like adults in the room who are like, they'll come up to us and be like, are you guys CMOS girlies? And we're like, yeah, why? And they're like, how do you come up with memes? Like, how do you find these images? Like, they're so coded to like really Instagram aesthetic wellness shit that they're like, you guys, your approach is just so weird. But yeah, it's fun. I'm going to have to make some memes later because I'm running low on my meme drafts right now.
Gosh, I can't wait.
My plans. Yeah, more coming out soon. Yeehaw.
Okay. Well, yeah, you'll have to come on again soon. Maybe after we're both like on the road to recovery for the injury.
Let's do that. Okay, fun. Okay. Amazing. Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. To close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Let's do it. Well, peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Commas Over Cold Brew with Kate. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We talked about so many random things in this episode. I feel like that happens every week, though. So I hope you guys just, you know, came along for the ride and enjoyed our weird random topics of conversation. Follow us on Instagram at Commas Over Cold Brew Pod if you want to be up to date on the latest episodes and submit listener questions. And I will catch you all next week. Peace out, fellas.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.